Okay, here we go. This is the start. Let's start recording now.
Finalmente.
Okay, all
That
right.
took like so long.
I know. I think I understand now why podcasts they hire sound engineers. That was
Seriously.
a huge pain in the ass.
So it's a lot harder than you think. Like setting up the everything, all these cords in front of us.
Yeah. Like we have two mics. We have it piped into a separate little box, like a red box that has a bunch of dials, and I don't even know what they mean. And there's all these lights, and then it's hard to know whether or not you're recording properly, but it sounds like we are. Okay, let me actually get into a more comfortable position. Right. So,
The inaugural.
inaugural the liftoff, episode one, off the grind. Here we are. Who do we have with us right now? Who are you? I'm looking at you in the face. I'm just kidding.
Hello, everyone.
It's
So
I know.
awkward.
Well, we're gonna cut a lot of this out, so it's
Yeah.
okay.
But yeah, we're super excited to come to you guys with this podcast. So awkward because I feel like I'm doing some sort of like product training, which is like my default go-to when I'm like talking.
Yeah, it's I can hear your work voice coming out.
Totally my work voice.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, I'm Eddie, and you are.
My name is Diana.
And how do we know each other?
We are roommates.
We're roommates, yes. We're roommates. We also happen
Legally
to,
married.
yeah, so we also happen to have a wedding, so we're married. We're husband and wife. This is a new project of ours. We're really excited to do it. More so for us to explore kind of an area of our personality that we normally don't get to access. I guess I can kind of start things off, but I'm in my mid-30s. I work in technology. I'm a software engineer, and a lot of my day-to-day, pretty much a predominant amount of my time is focused on how to do my job. I'm very good at being able to allocate a lot of my time and energy towards my day job. And often it kind of comes out as me having some workaholic tendencies. And this is kind of an area and a forum for me to start talking about things that aren't just about my work or things that are tangentially related to my job, but doesn't have to do with like how to achieve or how to progress. And I think that's kind of what the name of the podcast, Off the Grind, means to me. Usually you're hearing about all these, you're hearing about Gary Vee, always on the grind, he's hustling. And there's a time and a place for that and a lot of value. But you and I don't have that problem. In fact, it's probably a little bit too much of a problem. So, what does the podcast mean to you? What does the title mean to you, and who are you?
Man, it's scary hearing you introduce yourself because I just want to say ditto to everything.
Ditto.
Do I really even need to say much? But yeah, I'm Diana, as I mentioned, in my early 30s, soon to be mid, and a lot of my identity is wrapped up in like what I do. And like that's kind of the first thing that people even say when you meet someone. It's like, oh, so like, what do you do? Where do you work? And I think what caught me off guard was this one time when we went and got brunch with one of your ex-coworkers, and she was like, "What makes you happy?" And that was like her intro, and I was like stuttering. I was like, "What? Like, what do you mean? What makes me happy?" And it just kind of like spurred on this journey of ours of figuring out like, what do we like to do for fun? Where are outlets that we can be creative outside of just our standard 9 to 5. So, really excited to kind of kick this project off with you and bring, folks who are similar to us along the ride as well. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of us who are also just kind of stuck in front of our computers, Slack monkeys, responding to emails. And once you unplug, it's a little bit like, oh, we have all this time left in the evening, what are we doing? And so we're just kind of exploring the hours outside of our standard grind and kind of talk about a variety of different topics. Probably going to vary week over week, but kind of covering things like burnout, which I'm sure you and I definitely face. Identity, like both of us are Asian American, with parents who came to the States, you know, in their early adult years. So kind of like seeing different current events through our lens, and kind of talking about like how that differs. Any other topics that you kind of want to cover off on?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of intersections between different parts of our identity, you know, whether it's being kind of a day worker in an office space. We work from home, but I think in some ways that sort of exacerbated some of our worst tendencies when it comes to our relationship with work, because it's really hard to unplug when your office desk and your, you know, your couch are kind of a couple feet away from each other. So I think the burnout topic is really fascinating for me, but also around ideas of taking risks. I think that there are a lot of people that we admire who are in the public space who are really good about taking risks, but because, and this is where the intersectionality comes in, because we're Asian Americans, our parents were immigrants, they had very unstable lives coming to a new country and trying to make a life for their kids. And so I think a lot of our friends who are also children of immigrants can relate to this pressure to find stable, reliably paying jobs. And there's an element of structure and kind of consistency there that I think is really important that probably our parents didn't have. But then the trade-off is we lack a bit of that spirit to kind of take shots at different types of projects and things. So I know for me, this podcast, I'm fucking terrified. You know, I don't know, A, is anyone going to listen to this? But B, if they do, are they just going to be like really appalled by what we put out? Or, you know, worse, they just kind of like tune us out. And so I think all of that aside, it's okay if it's 5 listeners, 15 listeners, whatever. I'm really interested in kind of taking a swing at something new where I can, you know, kind of step outside of, you know, completing tickets and wrapping up my sprints, sending emails, like having good relationships at work. I think these are all important things that there's a lot of content and discussion around that. I want to explore what it means when you kind of unplug from that. How can you take larger risks around things that are really meaningful to you outside of, you know, are you taken care of financially? Like, are you stable? Can you pay the bills? Can you provide for your family? Those things are obviously of critical importance. But I think once you step outside of that, what are some areas, if you are given that luxury, how can you really explore it? You know, because you talked about when we met my friend for brunch, she was a former coworker of mine. And I really wanted her to meet Diana because of that exact exchange. You know, this particular friend, she's really kind of insightful and introspective, and she really knows herself. And she takes on a lot of professional challenges that have to do with social impact. And I was really moved by that because, you know, I work in software because it's interesting, but it's also well-paying and it's like a consistent, reliable job. But I was really moved by this particular friend because she seemed to devote a lot of her energy towards things that were really meaningful to her. So when she met Diana and immediately asked, you know, rather than asking the common LA, you know, intro, what do you do? You know,
oh,
what
I was ready.
Yeah, you were ready. you had your resume ready, your cover letter. And instead, when she asked the first question as what makes you happy, it was really strange.
Yeah, like, that was very unexpected. I was so ready at the tip of my tongue being like, oh, you know, I work in product marketing. Yeah. Like, I work at this company. Like, this is what I do every day. Blah, blah, blah.
This many years of experience.
Exactly. And then she caught me off guard.
Yeah. So I think that was really the kind of catalyst for this project that we're doing right now, because, you know, Dee and I, we came away from that kind of asking ourselves, like, what is it that makes us happy? And, you know, frankly speaking, for me, what makes me happy currently is the absence of work, you know, and I'm very uncomfortable with that being kind of the guiding compass right now for how I spend time outside of my job. And there's always this pressure, and I think achievers really feel this, when their happiness is kind of oriented towards when job ends, right? Friday through Sunday. And then you get the Sunday scaries. There is this like cyclical hamster wheel type of dynamic that is hard to escape. But I think also there is kind of a longing that I have to explore stuff outside of my job. And so I think that question really sparked a lot of that debate for us, and kind of this is where we are.
Yeah, kind of hopping on that train around kind of growing ourselves outside of our standard job. I feel like we spend so much of our time, like 90% of our waking hours, thinking about work, trying to improve ourselves at work. And we like wear so many of these like masks to kind of get ahead. But when you think about what we do outside of work, we're almost like infants. And when we do try to hop on a hobby, if we don't become a master at it after like a couple hours of tinkering at it, at least for me, I'm just like, eh, on to the next. Like, that's not working for me. It's not meant for me. And because I don't actually like take the time to hone whatever area I'm interested in, it kind of now has put me in this place where I'm like, I don't really even know what I like to do for fun anymore. Or I'm constantly thinking like, oh, how am I going to monetize this? How am I going to like commercialize XYZ thing? So I'm excited to kind of take a risk in just like having fun, playing around with this podcast thing, and just kind of explore a little bit outside of trying to perfect it on day one.
Yeah, yeah. And I totally feel the same way. I also want to make sure that, you know, even though this is a space for you and I to kind of untangle a lot of maybe what's deeply embedded and deeply kind of rooted, and also explore new sides of us. I think you mentioned it at the top. We're very convinced that there are other people out there like us. We're very convinced that there are 30-some-year-old, you know, working professionals who've had about a decade of work experience who know that daily grind. We might not all be startup founders or have a side hustle or some passion project, something that we can, you know, kind of pin in the front of our lapel. But we feel like there is a community of people who value supporting their family and their loved ones with their day job, but then also are looking for outlets to be able to explore other things that are important, that don't necessarily have to come out from attending every single meetup and trying to meet all these like creative entrepreneurs. And, you know, there is a little bit of that like achievement element that we want to strip away, even though you can certainly use a lot of the things that, you know, we're hoping to kind of uncover here to achieve. You know, it's not mutually exclusive, but we don't want that to be kind of the central focus. Instead, this is more of a kind of a self-discovery journey and a self-discovery project. And we're hopeful that other people can find the value in that as well. Okay, so we talked a little bit about why we're doing this. Really quick, I want to hear from you. What does off the grind mean to you?
Off the grind, where I came, was it even me or was it ChatGPT who helped with this?
Yeah. So full disclosure, you know, when we were ideating on this podcast, we obviously had to come up with a name, and we were like,
struggle bus.
There are a ton of podcasts, and most of them, you know, probably talk about some similar things. But yeah, we kind of fed a prompt into ChatGPT being like, hey, this is like the theme that we're going for. Can you give us like some ideas? And then it generated like 10 million ideas.
Yeah. So to me, what off the grind signifies is like things that we're doing outside of our 9-to-5. It's like when we've logged off, unplugged, we're no longer the software engineer or the product marketer at work. It's like Diana and Eddie, raw version, all of our masks are off, and we're just kind of like shooting the shit and talking about these topics that are of interest to us.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, resonates with me. I want to share a little bit about maybe who we are as individuals. It'll probably give some context. I know we've already kind of touched upon it. We're both in our 30s. We're married. We live in Los Angeles, and we both work in technology. So there's a lot of similar things about our 9-to-5, even though she and I both have different jobs. But for me, you know, I was born in LA. I lived in New York for some time. I mentioned it at the top, I work in software and I can't seem to kick my workaholicism. There are times where I devote like an inordinate amount of time to my day job, and then it generally kind of manifests in burnout every couple of weeks. And, you know, Dee and I were just kind of cracking up about it, that I always talk about it the same way. I'm like, man, I really want to take a sabbatical. I really want to take a year off. I really want to go live in the woods for like a couple of months. I think these are common things that she's heard from me. And, you know, now I kind of see the eyes rolling, because there's been so many years of it, you know, of me just kind of repeating the same thing. So that's kind of who I am. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So for me, my upbringing is like all over the place, but I moved a couple of times. Was born in Korea, moved to Virginia in my early like elementary school days, and then primarily has spent my teenage years and young adult life up to now mostly on the West Coast. You know, work in tech as well. And for me, you know, don't necessarily have the workaholicism, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately. I would say I'm fairly good about being disciplined with like having and maintaining work-life balance. But obviously I have my kind of like, not guilty pleasures, but I have other areas that I can, you know, go into my dark holes in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think when I observe, I feel that way about you too. You're really good about compartmentalizing your day structure. Once you're off, you're off.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, I kind of creep back into the office and, you know, I'll check Slack a lot. I'll check one in the morning, and that usually kind of sets my day off terribly. But for you, you know, sometimes I see you devoting a lot of mental energy towards your work, even if it's within the confines of your working hours. What's one example of a way that you kind of find yourself spending too much energy towards your day job and you wish you can divert some of that towards kind of your own personal time?
I would say with work, lot of like imposter syndrome, because, you know, I obviously made a late, or not obviously, but for the people listening, I made a late career pivot in my early 30s. So sometimes there is a little bit of that imposter syndrome feelings. Edit that out. I don't know what exactly I said.
Yeah.
But basically, because I made a late pivot in my early 30s, a lot of my peers are directors, VPs in my area of work versus where I am. So there's mental gymnastics always happening of like, what exactly are you saying? Trying to feel like I have to be at a certain level, and, you know, being afraid to say like, I don't really exactly know what you're talking about. I think I've gotten better at it, but it'll always kind of be back of my mind.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the imposter syndrome concept, I think, is well talked about. But I don't think people really grasp kind of the long lasting effects of it. Like you mentioned, you know, I know this because I live with you, but you made your transition a couple years ago, but you still kind of feel it a little bit. You still feel this, like, I don't know if hunger is the right word, but you're always worried that somebody's going to find you out. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, I would say so. Just like the whole fake it till you make it thing is very much my motto. Well, especially like with my work, I come off as, or I have to be kind of the fixer at work. Like if things break, they're like, what do we do? How do we tell people about XYZ? Like help craft the story around it. And so I'm constantly at a state of, I don't know either, but I have to figure out the answers to give people direction on what to do. So it's hard to ever feel like you're an expert, because there's like problems hitting you all the time, which I feel like is kind of what you have to deal with, except the problems are bugs.
Bugs.
Technology bugs.
Yeah. Well, bugs that I write. So that's, it's called job security. But I think it's really interesting, because similar to you, I also did a career pivot late in my life, relatively. You know, I used to work in marketing. It's how me and Diana met. And then at a certain point in my mid to late 20s, I was laid off from my old job, and I kind of had a, you know, a fork in the road moment. I knew I didn't want to continue doing that kind of work. And so then I decided to spend about a year trying to transition into getting into software. It's like a more common, you know, kind of course correction now than it was maybe a couple of years ago. But I think because of that change, and, you know, I'm normally older than a lot of my peers now because of that. You know, I got my first engineering job when I was 27. A lot of these cats are coming out of college and undergrad, you know, at the same level that I was. And so I think there's also a little bit of, I feel a ton of imposter syndrome from that. And I think there's also a little bit of our kind of Asian background creeping in, where especially in Korean culture, very hierarchical around seniority. And I think because I'm older, but then at the same or a lower level seniority wise as a lot of my work peers, there is a sense of, I got to constantly be moving my feet in order to, you know, either meet the expectation or be able to kind of run alongside a lot of these like really kind of smart peers that I have. And so I find it kind of interesting that you and I both exhibit our maybe unhealthy work habits in different ways, but then they come from similar motivations and kind of feelings of, I hope I'm adequate. You know, I'm adequate at this new thing that I decide to spend a lot of energy towards. And I think it was something that you said earlier that was really interesting around how it's your job to be the fixer. It's your job to give clarity. And most of our lives normally are, you know, it's fairly ambiguous, like what you're trying to do. And that's where a lot of the most interesting creative problem solving happens. But you and I do a lot of kind of posturing to give the impression that we know what's going on. And so I think there is a lot of energy internally that gets spent there that's pretty exhausting. And what makes us, at the end of a long work week, we just kind of want to like unplug and watch TV.
Totally.
So maybe pivoting away from what we do, because that's really not the point of this podcast, even though there's going to be a lot of influence there. I wanted to talk a little bit about this creativity workshop that we did a couple of weeks ago. So just to set the table, and then I'll pass it over to you. You have a really good friend from college who has always been extremely very motivated from a professional standpoint as well, very similar to us, but she channeled her energy in a really different direction. Like, you and I continued running this rat race, and she started a company around Asian American identity, really interesting and kind of bold topic, really obviously hard to create a product for it. And she's since gone on to move back here to LA and started what we think is a really interesting kind of project around getting other like-minded professionals, especially Asian Americans in LA, who have a desire to exercise creative energy, but haven't had that opportunity or don't know how to do it. It's very similar to kind of what we're trying to do with this pod, and we're talking about it, but she's trying to get people to meet up, share their experiences, and get inspired from one another. I think she called it like a creative power hour. It's like once a month in the morning for a couple of hours at a really cool co-working space, do like a meetup, get inspired, have breakfast and coffee, and then you get to kind of like work out of there. And so there's like collaboration in a shared space. There's like really kind of cool elements there. But we got invited to help her come up with maybe a more concrete idea about the execution. And she did that by basically inviting a lot of people who were like us and possible attendees of this kind of meetup, and asked us a lot of questions around what we wanted to do, what we yearned to do, but were unable to do from a creative standpoint that was separate from our job. And a lot of things we heard from the people who were there, they were all really, you know, accomplished, successful, had really great jobs, prestigious organizations. They all sort of echoed really similar things. And I wanted to get your thoughts about your experience there when we attended.
I loved that brainstorming session. And it was a mix of, you know, a mix of bag of emotions, in the sense that it was awesome meeting people who were in our life stage, but also super inspiring to see that they were spending their 5 to 9s doing these like interesting hobbies and projects. And they were, you know, some of them were self-motivated. Others were kind of like us, where they're looking for that community to help them kind of continue to kick the can down the road of like continuing the project. But it was just cool. Like the idea of being creative is, it's something that I haven't really tapped into, because I've always thought of creativity as like drawing, making music, things that I haven't done in forever.
The arts.
Yeah. But it was cool to kind of be within a group of people where they're not necessarily in the arts, but they're still kind of giving off their creative energy in different projects. So I'm really excited. I know they're having an event this upcoming week, which I'm super stoked about. And I'm just excited to meet other people who have this like inner desire of being creative and kind of channeling their energy outside of work into their own projects.
Yeah. I think when you and I have talked about this privately, that was a big thing that kept coming up. You know, jobs are important. Providing for your family is important. But spending unbounded amounts of energy towards a day job means you're giving it all up to somebody else, or you're giving it all up to some faceless company. And what we were really struck by when we went to this workshop was there were so many people in our specific situation professionally who shared this kind of want to be able to put something out that they can put their name on that's theirs. And it's not just like an ownership thing, but there is more meaning when you go out on a limb. You put something out that might get rejected by the people who see it, but ultimately there's a lot of gratifying experiences and growth that you can see when you do it. And so it was really interesting, because a lot of them would talk about, you know, we kind of had like a Q&A and some icebreakers, and some of these folks were asked, you know, what's preventing you from doing basically this after you unplug from your day job, what's kind of stopping you? And a lot of it was this feeling of it kind of being like a lonely journey when you don't put it out there, when you don't share it with other people. And I think that's something that you and I have kind of experienced together, though, right? Like, you and I are both extremely type A. We've been kicking around this concept of self-discovery and introspection for a while, for years, I would say. And because we're so type A, we immediately went to the things that we can control, which is like, let's research all the techniques that these, you know, successful people have. You know, it's like, it's been reported that they do, like they wake up early, they meditate, you know, they journal, all these things. Like, we're looking more at the tactics rather than the spirit of this kind of inward journey. And I think in doing that, what we were effectively doing was we were trying to apply structure to the space without really tapping into the inner motivation of like how to get it done, right? It doesn't matter that Elon wakes up at whatever ungodly time. It doesn't matter that Jack Dorsey journals and meditates for 6 hours a day. It doesn't really matter, because—
And take shrooms.
And microdoses, you know, like, we can all do that and not achieve any of the same kind of reported results, because if we're not really tapping into the internal motivation in like a genuine way, then it's hard to do that. And I found that when we were trying to apply these techniques individually, we became kind of insular about that journey. We rarely would talk about it with one another. We would just kind of go off and, you know, apply these routines to our daily lives. And, you know, we ended up in the same place, which is like, we yearn for direction and intuition around our values and our interests, but without talking about it and kind of bringing it back to this workshop, without sharing it with other people, it becomes extremely challenging, and you lack inspiration. You also feel a little bit like, maybe it's me, you know, maybe it's just me.
Yeah. And the other thing that I liked about the group and just this whole idea is the idea around being accountable. And by us mentioning to that group, hey, we're trying to do X project, now they're going to be asking about it on a monthly or, you know, biweekly basis, however often, you know, we're going to start meeting this cohort of folks. But I think even just having people ask us like, so what's going on with your podcast? And if we don't actually record anything or like move forward with the journey, then, you know, it's kind of kicking us in the ass about like, hey, you guys should probably do something about it.
Yeah. We don't want to just, you know, talk about it. We want to be about it. You kind of mentioned a little earlier about you thought creativity was just about the arts, right? Just about drawing. I felt the same way. You know, when I think about creativity, I'm like, there's really no place for that in my life. You know, I'm a productive. I always kind of feel like I want to be productive. I don't care too much about creativity. And so that's why this project is pretty hard for me. I think one interesting thing, though, about it is like how you define it, right? I would say that even if you, Diana, don't feel that creative in your conventional sense, you're probably a pretty creative person at work when you're trying to problem solve. And so I think there are different ways to define what that means. I think for me, it's really important that creativity and exercising it in the way that I want to kind of has more to do with creating something for myself. I think that is the ultimate kind of North Star for me. I want it to be a reflection of my personal values and my deep interests, but also in a way that I think other people can see and feel resonance around going through that journey. I think creativity is like that journey around feeling deathly afraid about this interest or this spark and then seeing it through no matter how well it lands or how badly it flops. I think that's the way that I want to exercise creativity. What do you feel like would be an ideal way for you to express, or how would you know that you kind of tapped into that side effectively?
I mean, same thing. Like for me at work, being creative is so limited in a box of like my role and what I can do. But I think taking on a project like this, it allows me to think bigger and think, for lack of a better word, like think creatively about like how I want to talk about certain topics or funnel certain ideas into our conversation. So that's kind of how I'm excited to explore this new side of like myself outside of work.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up. I think where I want to leave us off with is to bring back that question that made us so, you know, kind of disoriented, which is, what makes you happy? What makes you happy?
Why don't you go first?
I will go first. I think what makes me happy is when something that I do positively impacts the people who are closest to me. I think that whether that's, you know, I think up until this point in my mid-20s to current age, it's been around just financially kind of providing stability to, I guess it's you now, you're my wife, you're my direct family now. But I think after that, I want to bring this value-oriented energy towards the people in my life. And I think that's why this kind of project is compelling to me. It's not just the creative element to it, even though that is a side that like I've yet to really tap. So there's a side of me that's like, I want to get better at it. And so this is more of like practice. But I think ultimately I'm going to feel really gratified from this project and similar types if I sense that what I'm putting out in, you know, either my experience or the final product has been gratifying and kind of inspiring to, you know, close friends and family.
Every time you say my wife, you have to do it in the Borat voice.
My wife.
My wife. So thanks for going first, giving me some time to think about this question.
Yeah, it's been made clear to me that when I ask questions, it sounds like I'm interrogating, and then there is a trigger.
Yeah, dude, give me a heads up. I'm like, where are you on this?
Yes,
on
yeah, this? It's not on our tear sheet, no.
I would say what makes me happy or what brings me the most joy is like authentic conversation. And we've like been in a lot of situations recently where, you know, people are just kind of really telling us how they feel about certain topics and like kind of unwrapping all of the – the masks again, like kind of what we talked about earlier that we put on a daily basis. So for me, I'm looking forward to having more of those authentic, genuine conversations, even if it's just between us two staring at each other right now, and learning to kind of tap into that versus always like faking it till you make it, like pretending to be someone that you're really not. And, you know, there's a time and place in doing it at work. Like, there's always those Gen Z memes of like, oh my gosh, having one of those days. You know, sometimes it's good to kind of keep it in. Like, don't always share that with me. But I think when you're constantly pretending to be someone you're not in those types of situations, you lose sight of who you are. And then you, many years down the line, you're almost like, I don't even really know what my true identity is. So I think that's what I'm kind of looking forward to with Off the Grind.
That was awesome. Yeah, well, that leaves us in a good spot. Till next time.
Peace.